another episode of the Stellar Sound Podcast, the only podcast dedicated to astronauts, all the while rocking it, and all the interdimensional space traveling radars to empower creative musicians everywhere. I'm your host, Leonie Paulson, and today I am joined by Lena. But first, to become part of our interstellar presence, find us at stellarsoundpodcast.com, on all social platforms at Stellar Sound Podcast, or join our astronauts in the Stellar Sound Community Discord server. Links are in the description. Lena is a Finnish-born, York-based classical-trained music producer and creator. Whether it is through her online courses or her LNA Does Audio Stuff channel, Lena has established herself as a lovable and open tutor to a community of young producers everywhere and has eradicated the fear of production softwares. Gaining traction through her social media and producing her own brand of honest electro-pop awkward dance music, it comes as no surprise that she was selected as one of Music Radar's Music Tech Personalities of 2022. Lena, welcome to the Stellarmageddon, and how are you today?
I'm good, thank you. That was an introduction, bloody hell.
I love it. Powerful every single time. I'm like, gotta do this, I got it. And then it's a lot of words, but we get there in the end.
Yeah. I just get to confirm that my artist name is LNA, so I prefer also, you can call me LNA, or because my real name is Lena. Right. But there's a lot of confusion about this online. I can see people like, they're searching someone called L-E-N-A, and then they're like, because people think that's Lena, my name. And then, because my name is L-I-I-N-A. That's my given name.
Person. Given name, so if anyone's gonna like search for you, it's not Lena, do LNA, and then you will find it just immediately LNA. On Spotify. LNA. You're gonna get it. If you just Google her, you'll find her with those three letters. Yeah. Then do the previous.
Ironically, I thought LNA was gonna be simple because I took the eyes off. It's just Lena without the eyes, but then it was actually more confusing.
It's like a Rubik's Cube now, okay? You gotta like twist and turn to find it. No. Like you screwed yourself over with the stage. Yeah, it's definitely a unique one. I'll give you that. It's not one we hear every day. But I wanna jump right into, I said before this interview, I'm gonna just delve into your personality. We just started your childhood and ended, you know, your thoughts on the afterlife or something like that. But I do wanna start with your education because you are, and I don't want to make this sound really pretentious or something, but you are very educated. You've been classically trained.
Yes.
Severely educated. You've been classically trained. And in your own words, you've always described your childhood and growing up as being surrounded by art and music. And then you went on to go and grab some degrees in music production and commercial music. And then, of course, what you're known for is being a certified Ableton instructor. So the first question I want to get to, and I love asking this to teachers, no matter what subject or field or I'm going to say level of teaching you're in, but what about teaching brings you such joy?
Okay, so there is quite interesting things. You say that I'm very educated. Firstly, I just want to point you to that why I laughed was because I was never good at school. I failed all of my schools and I was never going to be an educated person. I was going to be an actress. Yeah. I was never going to go to any school. So I'm very dyslexic and very neurodiverse. So that was never going to be my future. But then I was like, oh no, I want to do it. So, and then I needed to prove myself wrong that I can actually do it. About teaching, it's a complicated thing to me, right? Because I never wanted to be a teacher and I don't see myself as a teacher. So the fact that you call me a teacher is very weird for me because I don't see myself as a teacher. I'm an artist. Yeah, I'm an artist. Mm. And the thing is that when I graduated from school, when I graduated from my master's degree, which was in music production, I didn't have any money. I worked in a sex shop and then I went from there to working at Gear for Music as a customer service assistant. I worked in cafes and I worked in like, I've done every job there is in this world, literally. And I was just thinking like, how do I get money? And I was like, okay, I can teach. And then it was just like a snowball effect from there. But part of it was why I started music production, why I started YouTube channel and why I started to find a way to enjoy teaching a certain level was because I realized that there's no women really doing that kind of content that I wanted to see in there. So as a person who just graduated from music production university or York University doing music production and master's level, I kind of realized that I can do that. Like, I can explain what is a compressor in a very complicated, detailed way, but in a simplified matter, because I'm dyslexic and because I'm neurodiverse, I always ask the questions, why? So, yeah. Everything needs to be super clear in my head so that I can understand anything. I need to really know it like super well. Yeah, I need to, so that I can learn, I need to know why. I need to know the physics. I need to know the science, how sound works. But I don't understand how anyone else can understand it without knowing that. Like, in my head, I just don't understand how someone can understand how to use compressor if you don't know how signal works, or what is volume, what is what is all that. Like, so in my head, it doesn't make sense. So your question was, what do I enjoy the most about teaching? I think because I don't identify myself as a teacher. And if I ask, that question is a bit deep, I would say.
Loaded.
But I would say, it's loaded, but I would say that it's, what I enjoy the most is the fact that I can be the person that I wished I had to teach me. I can be that person to other people. And I've, you know, I feel like every single time I get a message from somebody who, like a young girl, or somebody who's felt isolated and felt alone, or someone who never found a teacher who could make them understand things, whatever gender you are, like every time someone sends that message to me and they felt like isolated in this world one way or another, and I can make them feel comfortable and I can make audio feel accessible for those people, that is what I enjoy. So yeah, in the beginning it was to earn money, but then it turned into this online community of Patreons, and it turned into a community of followers who got something out of me just being myself. And that is something that has completely turned my way of thinking about only our communities, and also myself. Like I learned so much about myself through it. So long story short, I think it's that's like in being able to be that person to others. That is what I enjoy the most about it.
I love that explanation. That actually is a very, I would say, very positive, not positive, it's a very motivational way to look at things. And I like asking this, I'm not going to call them your students, let's call them your followers, because they do follow you everywhere, it seems. but one thing, it sounds very stalky. Has there been a moment that one of your followers has reached out or spoken to you and that you've learned something from them?
100%. I feel like just being on my Discord I learn something all the time. But you know what? I think the biggest thing this community has shown me is that I've had a lot of apprehension towards audio community. I never felt like I belonged in it. I felt like there's this one demographic of people, which is usually older white men, who I can't relate to, and I feel and it's something that I felt really isolated away from, and I didn't feel welcomed, and I didn't feel respected or heard, or like. And this is why I avoid going to audio spaces, big studios. I've limited myself from a lot of opportunities in audio industry because I'm sick of being underestimated. Because also I am myself, So which means that I am girly. I giggle. I laugh. I look girly. And I freaking love being a woman. I like looking like myself. And I love being myself. And I love embracing femininity. And I'm not going to reduce myself to be anything, which I have done in the past. I shaved my head and I felt like a lot more masculine, which made me feel like people listen to me more. But I've kind of now in a point where what coming back to this is Discord and this community has showed me that this is also the space that these men need. Like my space is something that where men can become vulnerable and they can feel vulnerable and they can feel emotions and insecurities, and they need it as much as anyone needs it. And it's I've learned to not to be scared or not to, okay, not be scared. I don't want to use that word. I'm learned to not to isolate myself just because other people might make me feel things. I've learned that I'm proud who I am, and I know what I know, and I know I can believe in my skills. And if someone underestimates me in the future, it's their problem and it's not my problem. And they can go away from the space, and I don't go away from the space. If they speak rudely or they make me feel unwelcomed, then that's not my issue. It's their issue, and problem. They can leave. Yeah. And this is something I learned from my followers. I learned it. I actually learned this, and I learned being welcomed as I am, and I accepted as I am, and listened and seen as I am. And I don't need to be anything else than I am, just because my followers are made me feel so, just that they just like me as I am. So I don't need to be anything else. So I've learned a lot, I would say.
That's amazing to hear that. It's like a, I don't want to call it a safe space. It's such a typical word to use, but it's like a safe space
for you to express yourself
and then to help your. Yeah.
And it's
good to hear it.
If it's a safe space for me to be myself, then I want it to be a safe space to anyone to be as they are. Whatever your background is, whoever you are, from whatever culture, whatever gender, whatever race, whatever, wherever you are, I want it to be a place where you can be yourself and you can be vulnerable and you can be, you can show your insecurities with full sympathy and like understanding from the community. And I think that is one of the most powerful things that I've learned.
Yes. I want to say amen.
But there doesn't need to be, there doesn't need to be separation. I've separated myself away from all opportunities because I felt like I need to separate myself because I was so sick of feeling all these things. And yeah, I do still feel those threats and I feel like there is barriers, absolutely. But also what more you are with people who are freaking amazing, the more you understand that most people are nice. Like most people in the world are nice. It's just that the shit ones are just very loud.
Louder than the non-shit ones, right?
Yes.
But I love it. You got this accepting, I want to say not accepting, but this acceptance of yourself. I even loved it during your 12 Days of Creativity at the very end when you were showcasing the songs. I think you started off the stream with, you people need to stop apologizing or something like that, because everyone keeps apologizing. Like, no, this is the place where you get to make mistakes, get to express. Yeah. And then if you don't like it, it was like, I was like, yes, thank you. This is, you don't hear creators do that every day. So I just want to give you kudos for that, man. It's nice to see that.
I think that's big part of what I believe in is that honestly, I feel like in music production, we never see people making mistakes online. We don't never see unfinished work. We don't see people learning. We just see finished radio quality stuff. We never see anyone learning. We don't ever anyone saying that I have no idea how compressor works or how does it sound even. How do you learn to listen to compressor or whatever? We don't hear that. And I'm like, you know what, this is me, I'm learning, I've done this almost 10 years now, but I'm still learning. And I also know this is my level now, and I know I can do good quality, but also I didn't always know this. 5 years ago, I didn't know any of this. Like, you know, it's a journey. It's
I also had to learn something. Yeah. Got to start somewhere, but it's good to see. Mm-hmm. It's good to see a little bit of positivity on online forums where it's usually just a, I don't want to say a cesspool, but like a cesspool of hate. So when we find communities such as yours, it's just like a, it's a very breath of fresh air, like, ah, there is beauty in the world situation. It's really great to see.
Thank you. And I also, I do say that my Patreon is like, I tell people that there is unsolicited advice is one of the biggest things in audio communities that brings so much hate. It's like, if nobody asks for feedback, don't give it. Just don't. Just if you have nothing good to say, like only advice you can give unsolicited is like praise and compliments.
Okay. But if someone, I want to move on to a smaller section called the Stellar Sound Goes and Stalks Our Guests section. What we basically do is the host, which is I, goes and surfs the web and tries to find like all your Instagram and TikToks and old Facebook posts. And then if there's some interesting ones, we'd like to show it to our viewers / listeners. But just for all the astronauts listening, please head on over to our YouTube page or Discord server to have a look with us. So what I'm going to attempt is, we talked about this, I'm going to attempt to share my screen with some photos, and then we'll head on over for some videos. And then what I want to do is, if you remember the photo, give us some context. What is happening? Why is it happening? Who's it happening? You know, yes, the drill.
Okay.
Tell us what is happening in this picture. It's a cute one. I'll give you that.
Thank you. 2010, I graduated from my... I was 19. So I graduated from school in Finland. And it's like every country has a different, but when we're 19, we get that hat, and it's like a graduation hat. Yeah. And it's like basically a bit like our high school. It's when you're 19, the school from 16 to 19. And that's where I graduated from.
Okay, yeah.
And so that was my final day of school. And I'm very small, and I have braces on, and I'm missing a tooth. And on the right, I am 10 years later, 29. And that was, I think, the first year I was doing YouTube. And I was, that is 1 year after I graduated from music production master's. And I'm living my best life. And I think that time I was also teaching at the music, the Leeds Conservatoire as a music production lecturer. I think that was the year.
So that's like a full, I want to say, a little look at the past and the present you, which is, there's a difference, hey? You can just see a whole new hue. Okay, oh, this one I love. I'm going to find you. There you are, I think.
Yes, that's
from
me.
From the hair, I think.
That's you.
And this is a dance company, as far as I understand.
Okay, so that is called Tin Arts Dance Company, and I've actually been so lucky to be able to work with them over 3 years now on row in 3 or 4 different projects. So currently I'm working on another project with them, and they are an amazing dance company up north in Durham, and they work with dancers, professional dancers who all have disabilities. So currently this one is from a dance performance called Helm, and we were touring around UK, and then COVID happened and the tour needed to end. But I'm there with a Fuzzy Johnson. Oh my god, what's her last name? Fuzzy is an amazing singer, songwriter, and she's absolutely amazing musician, and we composed this amazing interactive kind of piece for the dancers to dance into. And we were on the stage with them, and I had a lot of electronic gear, and then we had some, this one is rock piece, I think. So I have electric guitar in that one. And
looks awesome.
And currently I'm doing interactive sound design for them with a dancer called George, and it's awesome. They give me so much freedom to explore new tech and all these kind of things. So I absolutely love this job to work with them.
Something to look forward to into the future for everyone that's in your area, I bet.
Yeah.
Ooh. I have so many questions. God. Why are you in a wooden box? Like, what is happening?
That was in a, like a, I think it was a green party, political, some kind of like garden party. Green garden party, basically. Mm-hmm. In Scotland. I used to live in Scotland about 5 years before I moved to England. And I did this whole, this was before I was a music producer. So this was a time that I was introduced to music production, but I was a singer songwriter. All my songs were with a guitar, and just, I used to busk most of my money. So when I was in Scotland, so I used to play on the streets and with the guitar, and I used to do these little gigs like this one. So I played in bars and little parties and stuff. Just me and a guitar.
It's really cool. it's very stylized. I'll give it that.
Uin vasta virta juhannuksena. Ja muistan äitini kädet kannattelemassa minun vatsani alapuolella.
Do you know this video? Do you recognize it?
Yes, I do. And this one actually still gets me a little bit. It makes me a little bit cry because this is from my mom's art gallery. Aww. And my mom is on the back here. And I think in a bit over midway of this song, you can see my mom start to cry because there's an audience in front of me in that video. And the audience started to cry because the song is about... like leaving home and finding your own feet in and I talk about going into another country and you know, finding your own life, and then the people in front of me started to cry, and then my mom started to cry because of the lyrics on the back of me, and then I could see that the people on my in front of me started to cry because they see my mom crying, and then the lyrics and it's about generational, like my grandparents were super religious, and they always like told prayers and stuff, and I kind of talk about that, how, you know, you're kind of leaving home and you're continuing this generational journey and all this, and it was just very emotional, and in that video you can see my mom just like welling up, and it's in her art gallery in my hometown in Naantali in Finland.
I'm going to talk a lot about your online personality now. I think everything revolves around that, because that is who you are. You are an online personality, and you have a personal website, you have blogs, you have a book, you have your YouTube channel, you have very extensive Instagram and TikTok pages. Like, you are pretty much online everywhere constantly, which it's part of the job. But you have a video where you talk about online trolling and haters, and which is a big part of what you do. And we've spoken about your very acceptive and very positive Discord community. But how do you manage to scroll past those comments or those trolls and just not submit to them?
okay. Do I? No. I would say that, when I'm very tired and stressed, they do get to me. Like, just before Christmas, 12 Days of Creativity was absolutely success. It was amazing experience. I enjoyed it, and it seemed to really work for people as well. Thank you. Like, I really enjoyed that experience, and I could see that people enjoyed it. But just that at the end of it, I got two comments that were extremely brutal and very harmful for me. And they really got to me. And that was the point where, because I was just so tired of, YouTube. I was so tired of doing 12 days of creativity because I was literally posting almost every day. I worked so hard. I was working literally like every night till like 8, 9 p.m. like every day, pushing and then doing the TikToks, doing da 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 advertisement. And then you, on the top of it, you get a couple people. Like, it was literally two comments, even though there was like hundreds of positive comments and hundreds of amazing comments. But those two comments just got me, and they do get me. So that's my point. They sometimes, when I'm vulnerable, when I'm tired and I'm insecure because I'm just so tired and I was stressed and I needed a holiday. So now I was on a holiday almost 3 weeks. I came back, I deleted those comments, and I was just like, you know what? I felt good again and
screw
all this. But
you.
Yeah, but I would say also is I've learned that, you know, I started, I would say I would feel very different if I started YouTube when I was early 20s. I could not have done it. I could not have handled it. I go to therapy once a month, and it's not to solve a problem. It's not to solve an issue. It's a maintenance. The same way that I go to hairdressers.
Yeah.
The same way that I go to a dentist. The same way I go to therapy. And it's not the fact that I go there with an issue that I've been thinking about. Sometimes I feel absolutely fine. I have nothing to talk about. And I go there, we just chat. And sometimes something comes up and I really want to talk about more. And I notice that something's actually been bothering me. And it's made me a lot healthier. It made me to realize what YouTube is doing for me and what I can do for it. Alongside therapy, I also have the best husband ever, who is literally my best friend. And he's also self-employed, and he goes through comments and feedback as well. And we both just are there for each other. And I think, you know, I also grew up with the artist mother, so I've seen it, what it does, then also I see the positive. I see that it's not about you, it's about them, and it's okay as well if it hurts, but it should never stop you to do what you want to do. So the thing is that you need to find communities, you need to find friends, you need to find people around you who accept that sometimes you feel shit, and also that you feel shit sometimes, and you need to accept that. And then go to therapy, because I can't recommend, like, but obviously find the right therapist, because it took, I shopped a therapist for a long time. But honestly, I cannot recommend it more to people, like even once a month or even like once a half a year, just go to check. Just the same way that for dentists, just for checkup.
Yeah. And it's exactly what you say. It's a checkup. It's a mental checkup. Exactly like you would. It's like checking. Yeah. I call it, if you go to take your car for a service, you've got to take your mental car for a service as well every now and again.
Sometimes it's not. Yeah. And sometimes not even about mental health. Sometimes it's about paying for somebody just that it's about me for an hour. That it's about, I can talk about myself to somebody, not feeling shit about being selfish. Like, I can just talk about whatever I want and about myself and feel noticed and feel validated and feel like my emotions matter. And then after that, I don't need to ask that from other people that much. I don't need to be needy. Exactly. I don't need to be asking for validation from fans or followers or my mother, or I don't need to, like, I can actually just, like, feel better about the fact that someone noticed me for an hour. And then I can be, because also this is something, it's a taboo that we feel like we're not allowed to feel noticed. Like, we all want to feel noticed and seen. We all want to that. And that is healthy and it's normal. And it's just also, as an artist, if you are excited about your art, you want to share, you want to get validated. But also you need to learn that not everybody cares. No, but to be honest, many people don't care what you do. And that's also a fact. And it's just kind of okay. So you need to really trust just yourself and be like, I'm in a good place. I like this song. I like my art. And I believe there's some people out there who might also like it. And that's it.
You don't. That's it. But then you also touched on it with the stress and the being tired because of your workload, for example, during your 12 days of Christmas. And I want to ask you about that because self-care and time management is a big thing amongst artists, but also really amongst online creators, and a bunch of like really big YouTubers are starting to speak out about it, about taking time back, taking time for themselves and trying not to burn out, because that is essentially what they did in their early careers. And I think you also touched on it a little bit in your video, I Need to Stop. That's the video title's name. Oh, I remembered it. You talk about being a YouTuber, being consistent, trying to do quantity over quality, but then also that makes you feel bad, and then you do the quantity instead of quality and you start burning out. What tools have you, except for therapy, what tools do you employ to not burn out? Because it's such a reality, eh?
Yeah, absolutely. And just kind of like say, I don't regret it. I don't regret doing quantity over quality for a long time. Mm. That was 3.5 years of my life posting once a week. I don't regret it because it gave me my career. So it taught me so much of music production. I learned to be a better teacher. Teacher, educator, someone who educates other people on certain topics. Again, by the way, I have nothing against teachers. It's just something that I don't identify myself as. So that's why I tweet.
The forbidden word. The word that shall not be named.
I love teachers. Don't worry about it.
It's almost like all these things are small tools that you use to motivate you to keep going, and it's not about the actual, you're not regretful of the quantity or the amount that you've worked, because it's given you the quality that you have now.
And for me, it's more about self-knowledge, because it's not, I'm not lacking motivation. My issue is that I have too much motivation and too many ideas, and my issue is that I'm a workaholic, so I'm not someone who lacks like work amount. I don't lack drive. I have too much of it, which consumes me. So my problem is that I'm constantly trying to prove a point and understanding why do I work the way I do? Why do I do these things I do? That's the key of realizing how to manage it all. Because I understood that I'm a person who constantly takes on too much. I constantly want to do more because I get so excited and I love what I do. I'm so lucky to be able to do what I do as my job. But same time, I need to also realize that with that comes the fact that I need to take care of myself and have a life, have hobbies. So I take in on hobbies that I don't share on YouTube. I don't share on social media. I actually have a life that I don't share on social media at all.
What?
Imagine. I do things. I have things that people don't know anything about. And that's taken like setting up borders, setting up ways to like, social media is work. It's a work for me. As much as I'm authentic there, I only show the parts I want to be authentic about. So I'm still censoring myself, even though I am authentic and I'm myself. Because if I would give all of myself, I would consume myself. I would get way too exposed. And nobody can handle that. So I think it's about time management, calendars, plans, all this. Literally, it's all it's all in my book. I'm going to sell that.
Buy the book, Find the Secrets, basically.
So secrets.
All your secrets will be revealed.
Yeah, exactly. That's the summary of that answer.
That's a good one. To the segment called Behold the Meteor Shower. This segment is a set of rapid-fire questions that you will have to answer with the first answer that comes to mind. And I'm going to ask you, are you ready? I hope.
Yes, I am ready. I promise being short and concise. If I can.
Okay. If you could be an instrument, which would you be?
Push two.
Okay, that's a first. I was like, they're not expect that, but let's go on with it. Let's roll with this.
I love push two. I would totally be push two. I have a lot of reasons why I would be push two. Anyway.
Okay, give me a reason. No, I want to hear the reasons now, because you can't just say that and not. What are the reasons?
Because Ableton Live is it's a physical controller for Ableton Live, and Ableton Live has literally limitless amount of options, and it has constantly ideas and stuff. It's literally like my brain. I feel so. I'm pushing.
That's applicable, I think. Best plugin ever created.
Best. Did you say best plugin?
Yeah, best plugin.
Must be Baby Audio Comeback Kid.
Okay, best delay. Okay, makes sense.
Freaking love it. Just makes everything sound good.
I was going to say, I was like, it makes everything sound so smooth for some reason.
It does.
What was the last song you listened to? What was the last song you listened to?
My own that I'm mixing right now, my next single that comes out in February.
Let's just plug that right there. February release. Watch Spotify, thank you, and YouTube, and you will find LNA's new single. Thank you very much. Which movie has the best soundtrack?
That's difficult.
That's a tough one.
Oh my god. I think there's so many, but the first one that came to me was because I had the CD when I was like 12. I actually had got the CD as a Christmas present, was This is Halloween, this is Halloween.
The Night Before Christmas.
Night Before Christmas, yeah, Danny Elfman. I think Danny Elfman is great, but that somehow that came to my mind because I knew all this. I literally memorized the whole all the songs out of it. Yeah, that was a long time ago, but
great soundtrack.
It's good though.
I mean, it sticks. Which Harry Potter house would you belong to?
Ooh, I tested it. I am.
You did?
Huh?
You did.
What is
I'm
it?
So glad you did. I praise people.
Of course.
I praise people who do their Harry Potter sorting. So
I'm just trying to think what it's in English. Sorry. I'm just going to Google quickly what it's in English.
Do you have the Finnish name for it?
I think I mix them up always in English. Gryffindor. I am Gryffindor. Yeah.
Ah, Gryffindor. Okay, that makes sense. Best musical advice ever given to you?
That would be Olga Fitzroy, who said that... what did she say? She said that... Because we are asking about favorite plugins and favorite techniques, and she said it doesn't really matter that if whatever just sounds good. And she's like such a known mixing engineer, and she just literally said that literally doesn't matter what you use, doesn't matter how much it is, doesn't matter if you know exactly how it works, doesn't matter if it sounds good, it sounds good, and if you use it, you're a mixing engineer, and that's how it is. It's like if it sounds good, it sounds good.
That's solid advice.
Trust your ears.
Trust your ears. What a good one.
Yeah.
Which musical artist should we all be listening to right now? And you can't say yourself, it doesn't count. Which musical artist should we all be listening to right now?
There's so many. One person that I've been using I love their Spotify for just like when I work. And who I actually interviewed on my website, YouTube, Jocodo Sounds. If you like lo-fi.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Lo-fi, yeah. Especially for like when I'm working and stuff, I love listening to his stuff. And we were actually colleagues when we worked together at Leeds Conservatoire. So I met him there.
That's great to hear.
But he, very that's brilliant really cool. stuff and very relaxing tracks.
Very relaxing tracks. So his stuff is really good. I'll second that answer. Okay, this is where I'm going to speak a lot of Finnish. Or I'm going to just speak one Finnish word, but I'm going to really try.
Please do.
What do you prefer? What do you prefer? Maiki Roka or haggis? If you had to choose, gun to your head. I'll try the word again.
Say the first Maiki one first. Roka
or
Maiki I have no idea what...
Roka? I'm gonna like just go the copy it into the chat, eh? Because I know I'm.
Yeah, sorry.
This word.
I don't know. Completely... You said that you even practiced pronouncing it.
No. I've like tried, but you know,
Mukiroka.
They don't trust my Finnish.
I don't know what that is. What is Mukiroka?
I think it's some type of like blood pudding or blood soup or something.
But it's from a different area of Finland. Yeah, it's different area of Finland, so
damn
I
it.
Don't know that one. I'm a vegetarian, so I don't eat both.
Okay, so, well, then
one.
Safe, neither. Oh,
neither.
I thought I was going to catch you on this. Neither, I'm a vegetarian, and I'm from a different like area. No. Okay, this is the last question of the rapid fire.
Yeah.
I don't want to say same, but, you know, same. This question is the one that usually gets our guests. So I'm going to say sorry, but you're only allowed to choose one. Best okay. song of all time. But I apologize. But this is part
you
of
know,
the torture that is SSP.
Do you know, like, you have these moments where you are listening to something and you're like, this is the best song ever. And then when someone asks you this question and then you're like, I have no idea.
You have no answer.
I can't remember
a day in my life.
Yeah, I can't remember anything. Oh my god, I literally like planking. I'm
this
trying to
Halloween
see my Spotify
by
list.
Danny Elfman. Most listened to or something like that.
Just a moment. Oh yeah. That is good. I wouldn't.
You got one.
I don't know if it's best of all time, but something that I have listened a lot recently. That I think that's the best way. It's from an album called Valittu Kansa from Antti Tuisku.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Finnish artist called Antti Tuisku. I'm going to write it in the chat.
Yeah, then I can post it in this.
And it's Valittu Kansa is the album, and it's the Kahvia ja Pulla. Kahvia ja Pulla, that's my favorite song for a long time. I listened last Christmas, not this Christmas, but the Christmas before. Me and my mom were listening on repeat when I was visiting, and we listened to the lyrics, and the lyrics are the most impactful lyrics I've listened and the most clever written lyricism I have ever heard properly. And the album is also produced by Jurek, which is a Finnish producer, and the production is so clever. Like, just, you know, like when you see something that is just clever, like it's just so like unexpected, but it just all works so well. So that album and Kahvia ja Pulla.
Not in one of your production videos. You in one of your videos, you traveled to a symposium, forum, get together, I want to say, and it was a bunch of women producers, and you had two questions for them in this video, and I want to throw those questions back at you. And your questions to these women in production were, what is your favorite piece of gear and why music production? So Alanae,
why music what production
is your favorite piece of gear and why music production?
Did I ask why music production? Like, what does that mean?
Yeah. No okay. idea. And they had interesting answers. I'll give you that. They were like, because I had nothing else to do, or there was a easy transition from writing my music to music production.
Oh, that just is made a fun sense. Question. I remember that. That's like, that was one of the first videos I ever done. So that's like almost over 4 years ago. Yeah. Okay. So my favorite piece of gear right now. Oh, my new Genelec monitors. 100%.
Ooh.
Oh, gorgeous. They changed my game so much. Like the way I listen to music, the way I mix, the way I make music, honestly, the way I produce. It's just, I never understood what's the difference between expensive monitors and like regular budget ones until I put these
until
on.
You got them.
And I was like, whoa. So they're my definitely favorite piece of gear right now. It's having a listening space that up my game so much. And it's incredible how big difference it is. So that is, and why music production? Do you know what? I've asked myself that question, like, why did I pick to be a music producer? I asked that question many times.
Yeah.
And because I always say that, do I feel like it's my passion? I don't know. I feel that projects are my passion. Music production is so much fun, and I find it's tricky because I grew up in a family of artists, so obviously self-expression and art has always been a massive part of my life. So I feel like fine arts was already taken. I don't know, fine arts was like, that was me, my mom and my brother, and then acting was always a massive part of me, but I never felt like, I don't know, there was something about it that was never fully fitting. And then I never wanted to be a musician. I did music all my life since I was five, but I was never gonna be a musician. So then I feel like acting, music, art all comes together in my career right now, doing YouTube, filming, editing, doing graphics. But also, I never knew when I was a young kid that I'm a nerd. And that is what I'm very passionate nerd about everything. I love details. I love science. I love physics, like the audio physics. It's just so exciting. And then I feel like all this combines into my self-expression, which is making music, making songs through music production, and sharing them in videos, like telling stories with music videos, and then sharing that process in tutorials. And I think that's why music production, because I'm a big nerd.
Makes it, I mean, if that's a summary of it, that's a good summary of it.
because I'm a big nerd, but yeah.
I'm into music production because I'm a gigantic nerd, which makes sense
yeah.
if you look at it. It is a lot of science and everything.
But I feel like that's your passion thing was like that. I feel like the passion is like everything. Like I'm just so passionate in so many ways. But this is like the way that I feel the most natural way of creativity coming out of me is through music production and nerding out.
Such a good answer. Such a good run and answer. You are a certified Ableton instructor, tutor. And I want to know, you've obviously worked with a lot of softwares across many years, but why gravitate towards Ableton instead of something like Pro Tools or Logic? What sets Ableton apart to you than the others?
If anyone who... Do you use Ableton?
No, I use Pro Tools.
Okay. You wouldn't ask that question if you would use Ableton, you wouldn't ask that question. And I would say that that's the answer. Because anyone who asks this question or asks which is the best DAW, they don't use Ableton. Anyone who uses Ableton Live, and it knows that... It changes your completely the way that you look at audio, creativity, workflows, the possibilities, everything that you do. I used to teach Pro Tools and Logic in a university. So I didn't teach Ableton there. Or Ableton Live, that's the actual. But I was wearing actually cool Ableton hoodie. I was wearing a hoodie that said Ableton while I was teaching Pro Tools and Logic. the students thought it was really funny. No, it was just really funny. Because they knew that I'm an Ableton Live person. But I would say that why it's different is because the options are limitless. Like literally you can do anything you want with it. And it's so flexible and it actually imitates a human workflow, not a machine, not a music studio workflow, not tape workflow, which Pro Tools and Logic follows is how tapes used to work. But Ableton Live is designed how human brain works, which is not linear.
Okay.
Humans don't think from 0 to 3. They think ideas, and then we need to start taking the ideas together and then put that into an idea. And that's what Ableton Live does the best. It's like being a machine for creativity, but also literally anything you want to do in audio, you can do because of Maxwell Live, because it's connected to coding language and you can literally do whatever you want with it. That's why I like it.
Okay, that's a fair stance then. I haven't even touched on Ableton ever. I haven't even looked into it. Except when I went through your videos, because that's like the first time I've actually seen how Ableton works, and I thought maybe it might be a little exploration.
Did I pique your interest?
You might have, but like I also don't use Pro Tools to its full extent, so I can't really give a proper opinion on this matter. But I was like, it looks a bit easier in some ways.
I also must say that every DAW has their own strengths.
Pros and cons.
So Pro Tools example is extremely amazing if you have a lot of data, like you're doing sound for film example, and you have so much data that needs to transfer. Pro Tools is best for that. Whereas CPU usage in Ableton Live for a lot of data can be then a bit problematic. Whereas Logic is amazing for singer-songwriters who don't want to create their own productions or something and they want to put on ideas or something. And it's so that's the strongest thing that Pro Tools is really good for. It's very accessible for singer-songwriters, example. But Logic is really good for that. Whereas Ableton Live is for creative hub. That's what I think. It's like for creativity and confidence and to enhance your creativity and live performance and like the fluidity of workflow. That's what for a modern music producer, I find it best for that. And that's why I feel like it suits me the best, because that's what I do. If I would be a sound designer for major films or something, I might want to design for films, I would still use Logic and Ableton Live. But if I would do sound editing, I would use Pro Tools and so on. So
it makes complete sense. No, if you put it that way, it does make complete sense. I want to pivot a bit towards women in the music industry and specifically production, because you do have a very strong opinion on that or stance, and you do really speak out about the woman in production being a great thing and not something to shy away from. In your documentary, In Control, A Journey into Music Production, you give this really shocking statistic. And I was like, what? That can't be real. And when I Googled it, it's real. 2% of all music producers are women. That is shocking.
Yeah.
It probably in the world has changed.
It's actually now 2.6. Ooh. So much
okay,
more.
we've gone up 0.6.
6%. 2.6,
2.6%. That's completely shocking. And yet, if we look at social media, not in the bigger industry, but let's say on the online forums, we do see a rise of femme creators. So I want to, if you think about this next generation of music or the future of music, do you think the music industry is going to become more female? Is this the generation of the femme?
Okay, so music production and audio was actually originally more women than it was men. So we have been in an industry before that was more, it was originally women, like coders and stuff were mostly women at the beginning.
Okay.
Same was audio people. So it was actually originally in the 1940s, 50s, that was mostly women doing it. So example, Doctor Who, like the tune music is written by a woman. So example, there's so much like history behind women in audio, which is also not taught and not teach. So we need to like go back there and kind of look at it. Is that actually it does exist?
No idea that was the thing.
Yeah. So there's a lot of amazing pioneers who's been in the industry for years. So we are not the first ones to kind of to put it that way. But yeah, so it is changing, absolutely. But what there is still the glass ceiling. And what that means is that a lot of women, like myself, I'm a very good example of this, what I'm going to say, is we are grown into the world where we are constantly need to exceed our own expectations, everybody else's expectations, and we are constantly fighting. The audio space is not made for us to enter. So we don't come to the space to be just producers. We come there to be female producers. We come there to fight our way. We come there to take space. We constantly are on our edge to protect ourselves and protect our space and protect our presence in the space. So it takes a lot of energy. It takes a lot of courage, and it takes a lot of space from learning actually do the job. Because imagine if we come to a space where we don't need to fight and we instantly feel secure and we instantly feel accepted and like we don't need to protect ourselves and have walls to constantly feel like, do not underestimate me, do not make me feel like less than you, do not explain things, do not da-da-da-da-da. And if we come to a space and we made straight away feel comfortable and that we are equal and we're exactly like everybody else, then we can focus 100% on the actual what we are there to do. Then gender doesn't matter. Mm. And gender shouldn't matter.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But it still does. And even if it's not
it still
for
does.
Every woman, or every woman might not feel this way. Absolutely. Because example, you said femme producers, which is very fascinating that I do feel that femininity and masculinity. So instead of talking about gender in a music audio spaces, I would like to talk about femininity and masculinity, because someone who is a example cis male but extremely feminine might not feel comfortable in the audio space. They might feel exactly similar type of feelings of that they can't be themselves, they need to constantly, because it is a very masculine space generally. It is very competitive. Yes. Very judgmental and technical skills.
Toxic.
Very demanding. You're not you can't show vulnerability or weakness. You need to constantly be strong and determined and very pushy in a sense, which are often relate to masculine traits. And if you are shy, quiet, sensitive, if you don't take space, if you don't demand space, it's considered more feminine. If you wear a dress, you look feminine, you wear makeup, you wear you have a long hair, whether whatever gender you are, whether you are trans, you're non-binary, whatever gender you are, if you are more feminine, you are not belong to that space. And that's where you need to fight constantly. Even just feeling, are you safe? Is someone going to harm you? It's a constant thought process. So what? Okay. So about future. So to be able to have a world where gender doesn't matter, we would need to have spaces where we all feel comfortable and safe to be. And that's it.
Mm.
That's literally it. So that everybody could be as feminine, as masculine, wear whatever they want, talk as how they want, act as they want, and they are respected as they are. and they're judged by their actions and not by who they are, like as a gender or how they dress or blah blah blah. So,
but by what they do to be, instead of what they are.
Exactly. And to be able to be in that point, we're still very, very, very far from that. Because as someone who, I said, I started educating, I started doing tutorials because there was nobody else. Literally, I think it was Laura Escude and Rachel K. Collier, Marta Salonghi, like some of the people that I were like before me in the industry that I saw as role models. But I grew up like not knowing anyone who is a woman in audio. And yes, it is happening. Same. But also what's happening now to me, and I'm exactly what why I say that I'm a good example of this, is because why I don't like saying that I'm an educator is because very often women take the role of the carer, the mother, the educator, the person who takes care of everybody else but their own needs. So what happens, why we are not on the top of the 100%, no, the top 50, top 100 tracks, why no women is literally almost anywhere ever as an engineers, as producers up there in the big studios, is because we take care of everybody else's needs and we don't push ourselves up there into those lists. And that's what I realized, that that's what I've been doing. I've been helping everybody else achieve their dreams instead of putting that time and that energy into pushing my own dreams. Instead of being, and not being scared, but it's also very scary to push yourself to go to those dreams. Because what that means is that
it's terrifying.
I need to expose myself to those spaces that are not safe. I need to expose myself to those areas, to those internet communities, to those places where people will literally tear me apart just because of my gender. And as someone who's done YouTube almost 4 years, I can say that there is a lot of bad people there who does, where gender does matter a lot. Where if I push myself to be
in people's comments.
Yeah, so if I push myself to be as a producer, not as an educator, but as an artist on the top of the rankings of music industry, I'm going to be absolutely slated for it. But, so it's scary. Right? It's scary, but I have decided that that's what I'm going to focus this year, is that I'm, every YouTube content that happens is going to come through me as an artist and not me as a educating others. This is, this year it's like I'm focusing fully on myself as an artist, as a creator, and I will let people, and I will let people into my artistry to have a look at it. So I will share what I do, but I will put time and effort to be the person that I wish I would have had, well, that I would have had like always in my, to look up to. That I want to, I can do that to myself. So why have I not done that before? It's because I'm scared, and because I never thought I could be that person.
Say, Elena, thank you for joining me at the Stellar Sound Podcast today. But before we go, I want to give you a chance to shout out any platforms or projects before we go. Remember to follow us on the Stellar Sound Discord community, or head on over to our Instagram for the latest Stellar updates. But the floor is yours. Do you have any platforms, projects, new singles coming out in February that you'd like to shout out?
I do have a new single coming in February, end of, I think it's 24th of February, with a music video. If you like No, I'll Do It, you might like this one. This is a bit of a more EDM banger. For a couple of reasons. Exciting. There's reasons why it's a very dancey, bit, quite commercially danceable, but it has a point. It's great. I love it. It's quite camp-like. There's a reason.
Oh, you're selling this. I'm ready for it.
It's very fabulous. Let's just say that way. Also, follow me on Instagram and all those, because also I have my book coming out later this year, most likely it's end of this year or early next year. I'm not 100% sure yet, but it will be coming out, and it will help if you ever struggled with confidence, insecurities about your music and creativity and music production, then it will help.
And all the secrets will lie in the book. Well, listeners and fellow astronauts out there, from Milian Reporter, my guest, Ellen A., we want to thank you for joining us here at the Stellar Sound Podcast. But the countdown has begun, and it's time to blast off into the stellosphere. Remember to empower great musicians everywhere, and we'll meet again at the next Stellar Reading.